Good evening.
Good evening.
We welcome you to worship here at Emmanuel and welcome also those listening in on the radio and on our live stream as well. Last week we saw a lot of green in God's house because we were celebrating St. Patrick's in our community. Tonight we see a lot of green in God's house for a different reason. Palm branches have all brought out and we're reminded that we're just 1 week away from the celebration of Easter, early as it is this year. The Christian church has for centuries commemorated the important moment when Jesus entered his own city on Palm Sunday. As we look at the events that unfolded that day, we see a powerful demonstration of God's plan unfolding, and we're powerfully reminded of our Savior's grace. We'll follow the order of service that you hopefully received on your way into the sanctuary. That begins tonight with our opening hymn. It's number 412, All Glory, Laud, and Honor. God's richest blessings on our worship this weekend. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, during the weeks of Lent, we have been preparing to commemorate our Lord's suffering, death, and resurrection. Today we come together to begin the solemn journey of Holy Week. Christ entered in triumph into his own city to complete his work as our Savior and to gain for us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. We follow him in faith and praise him with joy. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. As those who saw him shouted their praises in the words of the scriptures, so we join our praise to theirs in the word of the Psalms. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. O Lord Jesus Christ, lead us each day to follow you with faithfulness and serve you with joy. Accept our praise and listen to our prayers as we rejoice in your triumph. God, for the great acts of love by which you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ. As he was acclaimed by those who scattered their garments and branches of palm in his path, so may we always hail him as our King and follow him with perfect confidence, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. In the first reading, God shows his people just how long he had been planning for the triumphal entry of his Son, the Savior, our Messiah. God reaches back to the time of the Old Testament prophets here from Zechariah chapter 9 to help us see the kind of king we should await. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's join together in singing Psalm 24. As excited as the Palm Sunday crowds must have been to see Jesus, something about his appearance must have puzzled them. For him to be their Messiah, he certainly entered Jerusalem in a lowly and humble way. If it was true for them at the time of Jesus, it was certainly true for God's people living in the generation after Jesus. The writer to the Hebrews encourages them that as Jesus stoops to humiliation and lowliness, he actually wins victory on the cross. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated. We'll join together to sing the hymn of the day. Ride on in majesty is hymn 411. Thank you. the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The portion of God's Word that we'll spend some time with on this Palm Sunday weekend is the accounts of the amazing event that unfolded in Jerusalem, especially from the perspective of St. Mark the Evangelist. To better appreciate what his account has to show us and to help us see, I want to read the account again, this time in its larger context, starting back in chapter 10 at verse 46 and reading through to verse 11 of chapter 11. Here, as Mark reminds us, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city of Jericho, a blind man named Bartimaeus was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, get on your feet, he's calling to you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately Bartimaeus received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Then they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll bring it back shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing, untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches that they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." So Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. In the name of Jesus. I suppose you have to imagine them as two old men who had kind of gotten into a weekly routine. The routine was that they both meet up on Sunday morning and catch up over the events of the past week. The two old men had grown up as two young men just down the street from one another in their hometown. But as they grew and had families of their own, the two old men had kind of drifted apart from one another until they discovered that their old friend from back home had suffered the same tragedy that they had suffered. And so they moved back to the old haunts again and struck up a conversation a couple of times on a Sunday morning with one another, and because they had both been through the same kind of grief, it kind of became the routine. For one of them, the blindness had struck all of a sudden. He had been out working in his field with the donkey that didn't like him, and when he got a swift kick to the side of the head, the beast happened to sever his optic nerves on both eyes. And from that day forward, he couldn't see a thing. For his friend, the blindness was a lot more gradual. He was a tax collector by trade, and the printed text of the accounts that he had to manage kept getting dimmer and dimmer as the days went by, until eventually he couldn't see anything at all. And now, as old men with families that had far moved away, Neither of them had any means of providing income for themselves. And so, on the outskirts of their hometown in Jericho, they had taken up begging once or twice a week as needed to be. For these two blind men, one of whose names has come down to us in history, named Bartimaeus, the best day of the week to go out and beg for some loose change was probably Sunday mornings of all days. For their fellow Israelite Jewish believers, Saturdays was the weekend, the day that no one could work. So by Sunday morning, it felt like a Monday morning to most people. And that highway that led from Jerusalem to Jericho was always packed with people on Sunday mornings. So that was their routine. Every Sunday morning, the two blind men, one of whom's name was Bartimaeus, would meet up and beg for a couple of hours there along the Jericho road. It was so much of a routine that they even had a running joke with one another. See you Sunday. No, you won't. Until one Sunday morning, when everything changed for both of them. It was a Sunday morning before the celebration of the Jewish Passover, the annual springtime celebration where people remembered how great God's promises to them had been while captives in Egypt, to be celebrated with family and friends. And so on that particular Sunday morning, Bartimaeus and his blind buddy knew there would be tons of foot traffic on the roads, but they had no idea what to expect that particular Sunday morning. There were more than a couple of dozen people. There were more than a couple of hundred people. Suddenly, thousands of people were making their way down the road en masse from Jericho to Jerusalem because some rabbi from Galilee had shown up with his 12 apostles and a whole bunch of other people had joined the crowd. And so they wondered, we can't make sense out of this, we don't understand what we're seeing because we can't see anything at all. Who is it that's coming? And someone said, it's Jesus from Nazareth. Blind Bartimaeus and his blind buddy could probably hardly have believed their luck. They had heard the stories for months, making its way through the communities of the downtrodden and the beggars. There's this teacher who comes from Galilee. Every so often he visits Jerusalem with his disciples, and when he does, he changes lives. Bartimaeus didn't know where to look. He didn't know what to search for, and so he mustered up all the courage that he could, and like a shot in the dark, he called out to Jesus with all the courage that he had, with the most noble and praiseworthy names that he could string together. Jesus, Son of David, will you save me? What do you want? Came an unfamiliar voice from the road. Lord, I want to see you. And so he did. And so did his friend. And they both started following Jesus to Jerusalem. I suppose that Bartimaeus and his friend, whose name has by now been lost to history, tried to take in everything that they were suddenly seeing for maybe the first time in decades, and for them it must have been so much, an overwhelming experience for them to try to put into words what was all going on around them. Any day of the week, it would have been moving, but on this particular day, there was so much to see. Thousands of people crowding the highway, and some of them were pulling down palm branches from the road as they went. They kept getting closer to Jesus. They wanted to lock eyes on He who was the author and perfecter of their faith. As they got closer, they could feel underneath their feet the robes and the cloaks that people had been throwing in Jesus' path. And as they got closer and closer, they couldn't lock eyes. Who could it possibly have been? And that's when they saw it. The backside of a barely mobile donkey. And Bartimaeus' friend said, "I don't like what I'm seeing." "What do you mean?" Bartimaeus would have said. "We've been looking for him all our lives." "Bartimaeus, do you understand where he is going? That animal that he's chosen for us, that animal is going to get him killed if he's not careful. By picking your words and listening to all the rest of these crowd call him the son of David, Bartimaeus, you've started something and lit a fuse that I don't know if you're going to be able to put out. If people start calling him the Messiah, then things are going to get messy for him. And that means they're going to get messy for you." And so now for 2,000 years, the member of the Christian church have had to answer the exact same question that was probably put to Bartimaeus that Palm Sunday morning on the road between Jericho and Jerusalem. "Do you really want to see the Son of David? Do you really want to see where he is going? Do you really want to follow where he is leading?" For 2,000 years, the Christian church has answered that question with a definitive yes. We do it every time we begin the solemn celebration of the holiest week in the whole Christian year. We want to see exactly where Jesus is going, and we want to follow exactly where Jesus is leading. But today, in some of the words that have been recorded of the event that we call Palm Sunday, Jesus may open our eyes just a little bit more to see just what the King of God's people, the Son of David and Savior of the world, is able to do for you. Now, to be honest, I'm not sure if the two blind men on the road between Jericho and Jerusalem happened to know each other for a long time. All we have of the story of the healing of Bartimaeus is the details that are recorded by the four gospel writers. Some of them mention two blind men that Jesus healed, and others, like the Apostle Mark, just mentioned the one. So I embellish a little bit of the details of their story. But to imagine that there might have been a conversation of whether or not following in line with Jesus was going to be a good idea or not, that's something that's very clearly shown to us in the scriptures. As the people got closer and closer to Jerusalem, as the story of Jesus had grown louder and louder, people were very conflicted on whether or not being in his entourage would be healthy for them as human beings. Because it was true. Jesus was making his way to the city of God, and in so doing, he was making a political statement. "They're calling me the Messiah, the chosen king of Israel," and Jesus wasn't about to disagree with them anymore. But it was really the donkey that did it. In selecting that particular beast of burden, Jesus was sending a very clear signal both to his enemies and also to his friends. Any Jewish boy or girl who had grown up with the memory work that we heard as the first lesson, "See Jerusalem, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey." Anyone who would be riding a donkey to Jerusalem on the week before Passover was someone claiming to be the Son of God and the Messiah of the entire world. That's not a statement you want to make carelessly. And that's probably why Bartimaeus and his friend had an argument of whether or not you want to follow him. Maybe it's also why Mark shares with us some of the details of the hesitancy of someone wanting to even give Jesus the colt, the foal of the donkey in the first place. Not because they were worried about it getting returned to them. What are you doing untying that colt? Here the people are singing to the Son of David and shouting Hosanna, and if you take that donkey and he rides on it, there's no coming back from that anymore. Doesn't he see what he's doing? Doesn't he know where he's going? Isn't he aware of how irate it's going to make the world that he's trying to save? The Romans are going to hate him for it, and the Pharisees are going to want to kill him for it. Of course, he knows where he's going. It's a truth that is brought home to us uniquely in Mark's account in the little verse that I read on the conclusion of that Palm Sunday parade. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Jesus came to Jerusalem on that Sunday morning for one particular purpose, just to enter the city, then to go to the temple, have a look around, and leave. Isn't it interesting that Mark's accounts begin with someone taking a look around and it ends with someone taking a look around? What did Jesus see when he got to the temple that night? I'm pretty sure he saw it all. I'm pretty sure that Jesus was already able to see and understand exactly what was going to unfold on him in the week that was going to follow. As Jesus stood in the temple courts on Sunday night, I wonder if he could already hear in the back of his mind the sound of the coins that were going to be clanging against the pavement the following morning when he returned to overturn the tables of the money changers. As he stood and looked around the temple courts, I wonder if he could already hear the echoes of his own voice off the temple walls as he taught the people exactly what the kingdom of God was going to be. I wonder if Jesus stood there, he already understood what was going to unfold on Thursday night of that week as lambs were sent to slaughter. And on Friday morning of that week as the ultimate price would be paid. As the Son of David, he lived up to his claim as Son of God. And as Son of God, he understood it all. He could see for himself exactly what was about to happen. And he went anyway. He went so that angels would hide their faces over what was about to unfold. He went so that the Father, who was already seated on that sapphire throne of judgment, would have the price that needed to be paid. He went for the forgiveness of your sins and the forgiveness of mine. He went to save people from themselves. Do you want to see the Son of David? Do you want to see where he is leading? Well, sure. But do you want to follow where he is going? You better take a look, Christian, because it's where you're going as well. Just like blind Bartimaeus, our eyes have been opened to the truth of who Jesus is, and now we find ourselves following him to his destination, which means humiliation for him, and which may mean humiliation for us. Because honestly, if you take a look around, you have to imagine in your mind's eye what the crowd of Israelites following Jesus really must have looked like. We sing their songs as we have for the past 2,000 years, and so we imagine how beautiful those songs must have been to hear them for the very first time on that Palm Sunday. But I'm guessing they were actually songs that sounded pretty pathetic to most of the passers-by. To the Roman legions in their barracks, to the high and mighty rich leaders of Judea, this ragtag group of half-dressed palm branch wearers must have seemed absolutely ridiculous. We, of course, love them like we love our kids. We love to watch the kids stand up and wave their palm branches and say, oh, isn't it nice that their hearts are in it, as their hearts were in it. But to think what following Jesus was going to cost these people in the days ahead. I can't be certain what happened to Bartimaeus and his fellow blind man who now was able to see. But I wonder, as the two of them added up the cost of what it was going to be like to follow Jesus all the way to Jerusalem, if sooner or later Bartimaeus kept following while his friend turned back to get home to Jericho. I wonder, because for us as Christians, sometimes the cost of following this Savior just seems a little high. The world comes to us with its threats and with its power. And we're forced to admit that we have no power other than a dying Savior on a cross. The world reaches out to us with its allure and with its riches, and we admit as a Christian church that the only true riches that we have is a Savior who made himself poor, that we might be rich, not in this life, but in the life to come. Bartimaeus, do you really want to see the Son of David? Do you really want to follow where he's going to lead you? Of course, Bartimaeus says. He saved me. I see him. And I'm never going to take my eyes off of him. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The Son of David is going to lay his own life down for you in lasting victory. And that same Son of David is going to lead you in a life of life-changing triumph. And so we don't much hear about the two blind beggars from Jericho who had the habit of meeting every Sunday morning on the side of the road. But if you can imagine that one of them kept following Jesus while the other turned back, then imagine what their final conversation might have sounded like. Am I going to see you next week? Oh, yeah. This time you'll see me next week. And the next time I see you, maybe both of us will see. Maybe all of us will see what this Son of David can really do. Sounds good, Bartimaeus. I'll see you Sunday. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which goes beyond our understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Let's join to confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Follow along on the screen or on page 14. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Following the prayer of the church, we'll gather an offering that supports mission work here at Emmanuel and around the world as well. It's also a place where you can put a connection card. If you're visiting us tonight, we're glad to have you fill out the gold bordered side of that card. If you're a member of our congregation, fill out the black bordered side. Put it in the offering plate or hand one to the pastor on your way out of worship. We'll continue then with the prayer of the church. Lord Jesus, you are the King of heaven and earth. We join the first Palm Sunday worshipers in praising and glorifying you for coming to this earth to be our Savior. Though you are one with God and the Father of the Lord of all, you humbled yourself and became one with us. Thanks be to you for living a life of perfect conformity to God's holy law in our place. Praise be to you for being obedient to death, even death on a cross, to redeem us from our sins. Cause our voices to blend with those who sang your praise as you rode into Jerusalem. Open our eyes to see the glory which was hidden in the cross that awaited you. Move us to confess you before others as Lord. Help us to proclaim the message of peace and forgiveness to people of all nations. Use us to assure all people that your blood has cleansed them from sin and set them free from slavery to death and the devil. Move us to dedicate all that we are and all that we have to your glory. Lord Jesus, you are King over all the earth. Bless the nations of this world with wise rulers and good government. Let peace prevail. Grant success to the businesses and industries of our land to serve the common good. Bless the land itself and the resources it produces for our mutual blessing. Look with favor on our nation's schools. Be with those who teach and those who learn.
Lord Jesus, you are the master physician of body and soul. We give you thanks for taking care of Bev Knudsen through a difficult illness and allowing her to return to health. We also join our prayers with Eileen Gorrell, who asks for your blessing on the donor screening process as Eileen's daughter struggles with kidney failure. Be with all those who must endure physical or spiritual affliction and continue to empower them to glorify your name each day. Lord Jesus, you are the Lord of life and death. We approach you in this hour of need for Connie Sampson, whose spouse Bill died suddenly this past week. Although this loss is difficult now, lead Connie in your good time from grief to quiet confidence in your wisdom and mercy. Comfort us all our days with your promise to be with us and lead us to rejoice in the power of your resurrection. Lord Jesus, you have brought us to see the destination of your Palm Sunday procession, and you have led us to follow you on that way. As we walk this week toward Calvary, keep our eyes fixed on you and your purpose of bringing salvation to the world. Hear us for your mercy's sake. Amen. Our next hymn is hymn 414. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn. It's number 413, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna. This weekend, as we start Holy Week, I want to bring your attention in the yellow pages. The inside back cover has the list of Holy Week services that are coming up. Holy Thursday, this coming Thursday, March 28th, 3:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. each service with the Lord's Supper lasts about an hour. Good Friday, two services in the morning with the Lord's Supper, 9:30 a.m. and 1 o'clock p.m., and a tenebrae service, not with Holy Communion, but the service of the seven words at 7 p.m. on March 29th, Good Friday. And a special Sunday service schedule. As I said, see you Sunday, 6 a.m. Easter sunrise. Pastor Doran will be preaching. We'll have a breakfast that follows that, and then Easter festival worship at 8 a.m. and 10:30. If you have any questions, take a look at Emmanuel's website, get up to speed. You can also see those See You Sunday advertisements out in the community. If you'd like to invite a personal friend to church this coming Easter, grab on the kiosk. You can find a little postcard that invites people to God's house.